is on vacation. He's on a ship somewhere in the ocean on a Disney cruise. I was jealous. I asked him if there's going to be Marvel superheroes there, but he didn't know. So I thought that's the first thing you would check out, if Marvel superheroes would be there. I'm happy to be with you today, and today we are talking about sometimes some heavy stuff. Reality, perception, illusions, and what is that? What is your reality? We are sold a certain reality. We are given all kinds of ads that are bombarded to us each and every day. Advertising images, images of what life is supposed to be like. But it's not always what it's like in reality, right? So first we have the Burger King Whopper here. In all the advertisements, it's sold to you as this wonderful looking burger. And it comes to you like that. Next one. We have a panda ice cream pop. On the front, it looks like it's supposed to be a panda. You open it up, and it's nothing like a panda. Next one. When you go shopping online, some of you are chuckling like this happened to you before. You see this wonderful coat. It looks wonderful on the model, and you get it, and it does not fit the way the picture shows. Next slide. A kiddie pool. In the picture, it shows you can fit three children in there, and it looks like you can really only fit one child standing up in that kiddie pool. Next one. Then we have some ads that sell us that our lives would be better with it. Life is easier on the iPhone, and that starts as soon as you turn it on. You're missing out. You need the iPhone. It's the number one thing that will make your life better and easier. Next. And then we have cars. Cars always advertise either out in the wilderness or out by the beaches, outside having fun. These cars are going to take you on adventures. These cars are selling you a certain lifestyle, and you're going to experience the world if you get that car. Next. And then this is my favorite one. Michelob Ultra is a beer, and they advertise themselves as the sports beer. If you're active and you're an athlete, this is the beer for you, especially when you're going bicycling through the mountains. So ads show us ways that they believe our reality can be improved. Our lives are not yet fulfilled without that product. But oftentimes, like we saw in the earlier ads, that's not how it turns out when you actually pick up their product. We also have realities that are put on us by our own communities. We have different communities, whether it's your family, whether it's your neighborhood or your town, state, country. We all have these values that we put on each other that this is how you're supposed to live. This is what it looks like to be a good person or what it looks like to be a good citizen. We even create our own realities through our own experiences, whether we've been hurt, abused, through our joys, through our successes, through our fears, through our anger. That's all shaped us in some way throughout our life. And so the way you perceive reality and somebody else or a situation is way different than somebody else is perceiving it also. Have you ever wondered why certain people react a certain way to certain things? Like, well, Karen needs to calm down. She's overreacting to this. But that's her perception. Her reality was shaped by something that makes that a big deal. Your reality shows that it isn't a big deal. Today we end our series of getting our bearings and finding our way. Part 6. That's a long series. But we've been going with the Israelites through their journey in the desert, in the wilderness. And we've explored that the wilderness is this place of chaos and uncertainty, that it doesn't have to be this physical place, like out in the woods, but in your own life, you have wildernesses. Maybe they're small ones each day. Maybe they're big ones that last for years. But we've been through wildernesses. We looked at the Israelites as they left slavery in Egypt and went out, and God had them as their own people, and God started giving them different ways to glimpse God through all of it. But yet, through all of it, there's fear and uncertainty, and at one time, actually a couple times, the Israelites said, "We want to go back to slavery. This just isn't worth it." This is our story also. The Israelite story was shaped by uncertainty, fear, hunger. They had the pressures of their tribe. Also, if we think back to the story, when Moses goes up on the mountain for the Ten Commandments, the people are sick of waiting for him. So they build a golden calf to start to worship, because this God that took Moses away is with Moses, but God is not with them, so we need a God of our own. So there was pressures from the people in that group to create a golden calf. Not everybody wanted to do it, but there was pressures there to follow through with that. They thought their reality was going to be different in the wilderness than what it was. In our scripture today, we see Moses at the end of his life. He's, I believe, 120 years old, it says. And they haven't reached the promised land yet. They've been wandering for 40 years in that desert. But God gives him a glimpse of the promised land before he passes. He brings them up to the mountain and shows them all of the land and shows them that the promised land is still there. That's not this unknown reality, but it is there. Your people will find it. And throughout their journey, God kept giving the Israelites different glimpses of what God was doing and of God's reality, whether it was water from a rock or the Ten Commandments or the pillar of smoke or manna. God continued to be faithful, but yet the Israelites lived in their own realities a lot more than God's reality. It's easy to be sold on different realities in the wilderness. When we're in a state of chaos and flux and you don't know what's going on in your life, it's easy to be sold on something thinking that that's the silver bullet. This is going to fix it. This is going to get me out of the wilderness. Frustration is easy to come by in the wilderness. It's easy to say to others while you're in the wilderness, you don't know what it feels like. And then the world keeps sending messages left and right. You need this product to be happy. You need this cream to get rid of your wrinkles. You take this class, you're going to make lots of money. We are bombarded with ways that our life can improve, and it makes us feel like we're left behind. And then that becomes our reality, that we are left behind. We don't have what it takes to have a good life. There's a city that took this matter into their own hands, Sao Paulo, Brazil. In 2006, they passed a law that outlawed advertising in their city. This is a before picture and after the law of what a certain street looked like. Now, this was controversial because there was thoughts of advertising creates a lot of employment. This might hurt our economy. But yet, as time went by, we can go to the next slide. As time went by, they started to notice things that they didn't notice before in their city. Next slide. They started to see good things and bad things. They started seeing good things in the way that they loved some of the architecture in their city that they didn't see before because ads were covering it up. And then they saw bad things where their infrastructure was crumbling. but they wouldn't have seen it unless they got rid of the ads. And then also, there were certain groups in the city, specifically the poor, that were hidden by all these ads, but now they had to face the poverty in their city. Next slide. And these are just some pictures of what it looks like in a city to have no advertising, no reality sold to you. Next slide. A new reality was born for them. It showed strengths, it showed weaknesses, had them wake up to all their aches and pains, joys and strengths. They could finally see it. They no longer were numb to it. In our own lives, we like to numb ourselves. It takes us a long time to unclench our fists from hurt and fear, to give up control of our perceptions, especially if we've been hurt or abused. It's the last thing we want to do. In a book called Leaving Egypt, Chuck DeGroat is the author. He was actually one of my professors in seminary. And he says this in that book: creative human beings have discovered hundreds of ways to numb themselves to reality. But sometimes the deluge of pain is so strong that we can't plug the dam of our grief any longer. And these moments of relief is no longer an option. A cure is necessary. We wake up to the reality that our ways of coping no longer work. Israelites had to wake up to the ways they coped. They woke up to it, they regained trust in God, then they lost it again, then they recouped it many, many times. They had to learn time and time again, just like we have to learn, that the ways we are coping don't actually work. If we think forward, we're talking about the Israelites, but if we think forward to Jesus and when he came, that was a time when Jewish and religious leaders had a hard time coping, that this new God is showing up as a human. It's making their reality feel different. This isn't right. This is not what I'm used to. And maybe your reality is making you feel like a failed parent. Maybe your reality is making you feel unlovable. Maybe your reality seems like it's not worth it anymore. Maybe your reality is so deep in the wilderness that you don't know what's going on, that you don't know who you are anymore. Turns out that we need a cure, and wilderness might help a little bit with that. If we keep listening to outside voices, if we keep listening to pressures from friends, family, we may feel like we are left behind. Sometimes if we listen to that voice inside of us too, we may feel like we're not enough. We're constantly comparing ourselves with things being sold to us. Maybe you've seen that before on Facebook or any other platform you use, but you see people put a digital highlight reel up online, and you start to experience something, a jealousy, a hurt, a feeling of like, my gosh, am I falling behind? But wilderness begins to strip away all of those things. Wilderness is chaotic and messy, but it helps us to let go of some of our stuff, to strip it away, to get it off. We don't need it anymore because in wilderness, we start to only need survival mode. So everything else starts getting left behind. We start living in the now. We start seeing things that are happening right before us. The Israelites and Moses, what kept them going through the 40 years of the wilderness is that they kept getting little glimpses of God and what God had promised them. So what are your moments where you see God working in your life? What are those glimpses of God's reality that keep you going? When you feel completely present to the moment. Frederick Buechner is a wonderful writer that we've used here quite often. And he says this about being in the now. It seems to me almost before the Bible says anything else, it is saying how important it is to be alive and to pay attention to each other. Pay attention to God as he moves and as he speaks. Pay attention to where life or God has tried to take you. If you're working out of the reality that you're behind, it's impossible to be present. This was true for those religious leaders when Jesus came. Jesus brought a new dynamic. They were waiting for Messiah. Jesus says, "I am the Messiah." They're like, "I don't think so." It was no longer about when the Messiah was coming, but it was happening now. They were still looking towards the future because they thought they were still behind. What is God doing in your presence now? What are those moments that break through where you see God's reality that it's different than what you've experienced? We may call these thin places. In the Celtic tradition, thin places are a place where it seems like heaven and earth are kind of on top of each other, that there isn't a difference anymore. In the Celtic tradition, they say that usually earth and heaven are about 3 feet apart, but in those thin places, it's even closer. Maybe you've experienced these thin places. And this isn't like Disney World or Cancun or any of the wonderful places you've gone. No. According to Eric Weiner, he says, "Thin places relax us, yes, but they also transform us, or more accurately, unmask us. In thin places, we become our more essential selves." We become our more essential selves. Pay attention, be present. These are the ways that we can get glimpses into God's reality. Now, when you love somebody, if you think back to when you started dating your spouse, or the most important relationship you've had in your life, that you paid very close attention to every detail. You wanted to get to know them better. You wanted to surprise them with certain things. You wanted to get to know them. To love somebody is to pay attention. And maybe after time, when you've gotten comfortable, you've become a little numb to those details of your loved one. But it's kind of a paradox because you become numb to it a little bit, but then you also know that person way better than they know themselves. When we love someone, we watch, we listen, we pay attention. So when we love God, we need to pay attention to God. Wait, listen, see what God is doing in our presence. Be open to the possibility that God is with you in ways that unless you have your eyes open, you may never see. And that God speaks words that unless you open your ears, you will never hear. Going back to Buechner, he says, pay attention not just to the mighty acts that get into the headlines, but pay attention to the mighty acts that you are about to do. Maybe they're not so big in terms of history, but they are mighty acts in your own life, the epiphanies in your own life. Can you imagine all the small acts in the tribe of Israel when they're going through the 40 years in the desert, all the small acts that had to happen to keep that group going? So how do we do this? How do these acts work? Well, we always have these up here each Sunday. The greatest commandment, loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God. When you love your neighbor as yourself, you are loving God. And that's the greatness of this commandment. When you love your neighbor, you love God. When you love God, you love your neighbor. Because the reality of God is the most visible and tangible when we are loving one another and not leaving anybody out. When have you felt that love? When have you felt that reality of God, that intense love? Maybe it was a family gathering. Maybe on Christmas morning, Thanksgiving. Maybe when your child who's been lonely at school is befriended by somebody else. When you see somebody getting a helping hand to get out of their situation that is horrible and impoverished. When a community surrounds a sick child and their family. When we celebrate the diversity of views, perspectives, and people. These are those moments that it feels like it's a thin place. The heaven and earth are no longer 3 feet apart, but they are closer. In those moments, we get that glimpse of God's reality, that our realities start to get stripped away, but now we see what the kingdom of God looks like. It's not theirs, it's not ours, but it's God's. And this is a reality that we are tasked with to bring to earth now. We say the Lord's Prayer each and every week, and in the Lord's Prayer it says, as on earth as it is in heaven. And that's Jesus telling us that we can bring heaven to earth now. That isn't a place that we're waiting to go to, but we can create it here and now, and that's when we get the glimpse of God's kingdom, of God's reality. So be present this week. Be present, wait, listen on God. See what God is doing in your life, how you can love God, how you can love your neighbor. That's how you begin to see the new reality. Alexander Shishman said, "Our entrance into the presence of Christ is an entrance into a fourth dimension, which allows us to see the ultimate reality of life. It is not an escape from the world, rather it is an arrival at a vantage point from which we can see more deeply into the reality of the world." May you shed your false reality. May you become more of your essential self. May you step into the reality of Christ and experience this world more deeply than you ever have before. Let's pray. God, help us to find those ways in our life that we are giving ourselves a false reality, where we have been shaped by some of the hurts, the pains, the joys, the successes, that all these things are good and they do shape it, but help us to see your reality through that. Help us to love our neighbors. And help us to be patient, to wait and listen for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.